Awesome way to start out the day, being in God's house and being in God's Word. The title of the message this morning is The Road Less Traveled. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, we'll be in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 23, Matthew 7, 13 through 23. The road less traveled. It's amazing how God leads in a certain direction when He wants His Word to be proclaimed, but certainly wants you to work with me this morning. I want to open up the Word this morning. I want to share with you some important things that are on my heart and some things that God wants us all to hear this morning. The Bible is filled with godly wisdom and information for every single aspect of human life. There's not one thing that we deal with, not one thing that we encounter, not one difficulty, not one luxury, not one thing that we walk through that hasn't been explained in the Bible. It's not one thing that's not explained. God has given us an unlimited resource at our fingertips, which is why everybody needs a Bible. Amen? I know there's apps. I know that people can use the Bible's app. I have an app on my phone that has a Bible, and I can quickly get to certain things, and certainly nothing wrong with an app. But nothing better than having the Word of God present. Amen? Everybody needs the Bible. God's given us an unlimited resource at our fingertips. We can find the answers that we need when we're looking for things that we want to know the answer to. We want to know how God works through it. We want to know how we should navigate through it and how God wants to direct us through it. So we need to lean into the Word. It's quite obvious that many people are using sources other than the Bible for the guidance and direction. You agree? Man, there's a lot of people making decisions for this country. There's a lot of people making decisions that are locally, beyond, that are using things other than the Bible for guidance and direction. Let me tell you something. Deception is one of the main functions of Satan, and a lot of people are being used by Satan to deceive other people. The Bible is very clear about that. The Bible talks about false prophets. Since there are false prophets in the world, we must be careful about deception. We need to be careful about people leading other people down the path that opposes what's God's plan. That's very simple. It's black and white. There's no gray area here. It either follows God's plan or it does not. Amen? So you either follow God's plan, you either follow the Word of God, or you don't. There's nothing in between. It's not a compromising situation. However, the greatest danger that people face today is self-deception. Satan is the master deceiver. He influences a lot of people. There are false prophets that teach false prophecy. There's false prophets that do more than just teach false prophecy, but they lead in different directions that are not in God's path and the way God wants us to go. They oppose God's plan. But the greatest danger people face is self-deception. Boy, it's a good thing you're not sitting on the front row. You think about it. People in self-deception have all the answers. I've got every answer that I need. I can do everything on my own. They think they have all the answers. When you look in the Bible, the scribes, the lawyers, the Pharisees all thought they had all the answers. They all thought they had knew the law. They all thought that they had all the answers, that they themselves were doing the right things, and they had fooled people into believing that they were righteous people, that they had all the answers, and that other people were sinful people. You look at the Bible, it shows you that clearly, how they felt about it. It is possible to know all the right language. It's possible to be well-educated in the field. It's possible to know all the right language and to obey all the rules. But the thing is, it's still possible that you still would not be saved. That's a scary thought. You think about it very seriously. We're going to talk about how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're walking with the Lord? It's going to be clear when we get through with this message this morning that we're going to know. But the thing is it ain't about knowing the Bible, because Satan knows the Bible. He even tried to use Scripture against Jesus during the temptation time. Amen. He knows the Bible. Satan knows God. When I ask people, do you believe in God? Yeah, I know there's a God. I believe in God. Well, let me let you know something. Satan believes there's a God as well. But he's not going to spend eternity in heaven. And there's a big difference between knowing him and knowing who he is. The Bible gives us a lot of information about eternal life in heaven. We've talked about that. We spend a lot of time on that. Eternal life. We want to enhance that. And the Bible tells us a lot about eternal life in heaven. And it's very clear and what it takes to get there. There's no deception about that. It's very clear. Scripture offers us two things that are for certain. Here's some tough scenario. Two things for certain about Scripture. Scripture says believers will spend eternity in heaven. That's one thing for certain, amen? Here's another thing for certain. Not everybody that God made will be there. Not every creation, not every person that God created in his image is going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Because we're going to talk about the road less traveled this morning. Not everybody's going to be there. As sad as it is to make that statement, not everyone will be there. It's an accurate statement. Wednesday evening, if you were here Wednesday evening or if you heard about it Wednesday evening, I shared with the group that was here for Bible study that 31% of the population of this world, 3.8 billion people on this planet, 31% of those people are Christians. Less than a third of the people who live on this planet are Christians. I mean, 69% of the people that live on this planet believe something other than Christianity. Amen? We're not even a third of the population of this planet. A third of the people are God's followers, so to speak. 31%, all right? Throughout the Bible, we read where Jesus used numerous parables and illustrations to explain life and the afterlife. He talks about life. He talks about how to navigate through this life. And he also talks about the afterlife, the things that are going to take place after we're through here on this planet, when we take our last breath, when we're going to be in one of two places. Let me tell you, we're going to talk more about that. He explains life in the afterbirth. In our passage of Scripture this morning, Jesus uses an illustration to explain the roads that are going to be traveled, the roads that we travel throughout life, and the roads that we travel when we leave this life. They're one and the same. We're going to talk about both of them this morning. It's very important. Jesus gave us clear instructions on the road that leads to the gates of heaven. He also gives us some pretty clear instructions on the road that leads away from the gates of heaven. If you are able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word this morning? We'll be in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13, says this. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow it is the gate of difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Pray with me, please. Father God, I just come before you this morning with a humble heart. God, I ask you to bless the reading of your word. Father, I ask that you cleanse me of every sin, cleanse me of every impurity. God, I ask that you hide your servant behind the cross and allow me to deliver your message to your people. These things I ask in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. When Jesus gave explanations about spiritual issues, he often used life examples to explain it. It was a common thing for him. He used parables to share things with us. He used examples of life applications to share things with them so that we would understand them, so to bring it down on our level, so to speak, so that he could get his point across a little bit clearer that we would understand it. You think about it, we're going to talk about these wide gate and this narrow gate. Let me give you a little bit of information about that. It's much easier to enter most things through a wide gate, isn't it? Amen, especially if you can't drive very well. Wide gates are, when I was growing up, I want to give you a little bit of personal about myself. And you guys probably don't know that I was a farmer growing up. Couldn't tell it today, could you? Myron's been tutoring me a little bit, him and William both a little bit, but it's not working very well. But anyhow, when I was growing up on the farm, it was much easier to drive the hogs that were on our farm through a wide gate. And I think my dad thought that we should be in the hog business. I have no clue why he thought that, But he did, and we had a bunch of hogs. And it was much easier to drive these hogs through the wide gate as opposed to this narrow gate. The hogs on our farm were not the smartest animals that I have ever known or ever been around. They needed a lot of attention. They needed a lot of guidance, so to speak. Man, my hogs were a lot different than Eli's or Devin's hogs, these little show pigs, huh? If y'all seen them with these little show pigs, my hogs were a lot different. I went and saw them. I saw them drive their pigs around simply by tapping the pig on the side of the head with a little light stick or something. And the pig would turn and go this direction and that direction. All they had to do was just bump it a little bit and it would go. Now, I did see one get away from Eli there one time. But for the most part, they just guided these pigs around. They were a lot different than my pigs. Man, they used a little guide, then they just nudged him. Let me tell you, on my farm, I used something called a hot shot. Y'all know what that was? It was a battery-powered little thing that put a little charge to him. It got their attention very quick. It's much easier to do that. But it's much easier to drive a big piece of equipment through a wide gate. Now, I looked at this, I'm thinking, I'm quite sure that fire trucks are the same way, amen? You need a wide gate. So if you think your house might be in trouble, you better get those gates a little wider to make sure you're prepared for the fire trucks when they come. So it's the difference between a wide gate and a narrow gate. Scripture teaches us that in life, there is a wide gate and a broad road that many people travel. I mean, there's a picture, you know, there's a painting. Some people look at this painting and there's this road that's going down and it's wide. And there's a bunch of people traveling down this road. And there's another one over here that's real narrow and going up. And there's only a few people trickling up there. It's just a painting that I've seen. But that's what it is. Many people travel this wide gate. It seems to be more comfortable for some people to travel. It allows them to make their own decisions about the way they want to live. They're free to do what they want to do and make their own decisions. It has a focus of the here and the now in a temporary world. Let me tell you something. This planet that we're living on right now is temporary. Where our time on this earth is temporary. However long or short it might be, it is temporary. We're in a dress rehearsal for our next life, which is eternal life. Scripture teaches us that. It's for the here and now. Scripture also teaches us that there's a narrow gate that leads to eternal life in heaven. It is a difficult gate to enter. Bible says it's difficult, but let me tell you something, it is not impossible. There's a distinct difference between something that's hard and difficult and something that's impossible to do, amen? It's not difficult. God made it very simple. It's a narrow gate. It comes with obedience. There's an obedience requirement that goes along with going through this narrow gate. And I'm going to explain that to you just a little bit further. Few people find this road because few are willing to accept it the way that God says that there's to go through it. There are few ways that they accept it. They won't accept the ways of obtaining eternal life. The only legitimate way to obtain eternal life and have fellowship with God is to travel His way through His Son and His cross. Amen? That's the only way. That's what he says in the scripture. This life has many choices, but when it comes to the end of the physical human life, there is only two choices. Amen? Two choices. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's good to have multiple choices when you're picking out something you like, such as a car or a house or a truck or maybe John Henry, maybe a new motorcycle now, right? Have a lot of choices. It's good sometimes to be looking at multiple choices, but then say there's other times when it's better to have fewer choices. You know, one thing comes to my mind real quick when it comes to having fewer choices is picking out a live Christmas tree. Amen? The fewer the choices, the better. Y'all don't with me on that one. Y'all don't have to do that. Stand, spin it, turn around, and put it back. Stand it, spin it, turn around, and put it back. Y'all ever do that? Okay. I'm sorry, Trish. I couldn't resist. Jesus clearly indicates that there are two ways of traveling from this earth, two ways of traveling from this earth as well as being on this earth. These two ways refer to two different types of lifestyle, two different ways that we live and accompanied by the way that we leave this earth. One is easy, comfortable, and it's a popular lifestyle. Man, it fits all the things that you really want in this life. It's easy and comfortable. The other is somewhat difficult. It requires taking up the cross every single day and following Jesus. Amen? You know what that means? That means being in the Word every day. That means saying, Lord, you're going to lead me through this day. Not just on Mondays, not just on Sundays, but every single day, taking up the cross again and knowing that God's going to lead you through that day every day. Amen? We want Him to lead us through. It doesn't matter if it's difficult, because when it's difficult, He says, I'll be with you always. You don't have to go through it by yourself. I'm going to walk with you every single step of the way. These ways are entered by two gates, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, a narrow gate and a wide gate. When we say a narrow gate, which means, the narrow gate, which means I'm counting on what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. That's the narrow gate. I'm counting on what God's Word says. I'm counting on the promises of God. I'm counting on the fact that God has fulfilled every promise to this point. I'm counting on the fact that He's going to fulfill every promise that's yet to come. I'm going to count on what Jesus did on the cross. And the other one is the wide gate, which means I'm counting on everything that I'm able to do on my own. Amen? Man, everybody's probably been there at some point when you think about it. I'm counting on what I can do, how I can be successful, how I can get my achievements done. Let me tell you something. God wants to be involved with your life as minor as it is and as maximum as it is. He wants to be part of it. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's a significant verse of Scripture. It's in red in my Bible. John 10:10, when we talk about Jesus being the way and Jesus being life, in John 10:10, he says, Jesus said, I have come so that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. To the fullest. They might have it. That Jesus just doesn't just want to give you life. Now, he's offering you eternal life through his self, through the sacrifices he made. But he doesn't just want to give you life. He wants to give you an abundant life. He wants to give you a full life, a rich life, an eternal life in heaven. That's what he came to do. When we read the scriptures, it's clear to tell us that while we are on this earth, we're going to travel down one of those two roads. It's easy. One of the two roads is you're either going north or south. All right, one of two roads. There's two roads we're going to travel. These two roads will either take you to a place of eternal life with Jesus in heaven, or they're going to take you an opposite direction. They're going to take you away from eternal life with heaven. They're going to take you into eternal separation from God. The broad way is the easy way, and it's the popular way. It provides temporary comfort in a world that provides temporary pleasures, and all of it is temporary, and it will come to an end at some point. Now, listen to this. In a democracy, y'all know what a democracy is? Do we live in a democracy? Sometimes it's questionable, isn't it? In a democracy, when you vote on something, you typically go with what the majority agree on, amen? Whatever the majority agrees on, that's what we're going to do. That's the democracy. Contrary to what you may have been taught, the majority is not always right. There we go. I'd got something there, didn't I? The fact that just because everybody's doing it is not proof that they're doing it right. That's something we want to look at a little heavier. History teaches us that God's people have always been a small majority in this world. The reason it's not difficult, because it's hard to understand sometimes, but the Christian way is a narrow way. It's a narrow gate. It's a lonely path a lot of times. It's a difficult path. Sometimes you've got to stand alone. And it's also very costly, if you want to know the truth about it. It's going to cost you something to be a Christian, and we'll look a little bit further at that. It's very costly. People have the option of walk down the broad road of life and enjoy all the pleasures the world has to offer, but if they enter the narrow gate, they have to give up some of that baggage. They have to change some of those relationships that they had. They have to change some of those friendships that they had. They have to get rid of some of those luxuries that they had, because it's costly. Those are the things that are dragging them down, so to speak. Here's a question, church. Here's your first test. Did your profession of faith in Jesus Christ cost you anything? And when you think about it, when you turned your life over to the Lord, did it cost you anything? Jesus said that the narrow way is hard. He told the disciples, he said, you're going to be persecuted just like I am. When you think about it, he was going to the cross. He was going to hang on the cross. He told the disciples, you're going to be persecuted just like me. He told the Apostle Paul, you're going to suffer and have many hardships throughout your ministry and throughout your life. It's not going to be easy. You turn around, you're going to follow me because I'm telling you to, and you're obedient to what I'm telling you to do, but it ain't going to be easy. There's another one. It ain't. Do you think Jesus said that? A little southern drawl there. It's not going to be easy, Paul, but I want you to do it anyhow. The Christian life is hard. Sometimes you feel like you're doing it alone. Sometimes you feel like you're not making any headway. You're not getting anywhere with it. You're doing it alone. Some people even wonder, did I make the right decision? I mean, is it the right decision that I've made to stand alone like this when nobody else is standing with me? You know, I'm having a difficult time with my family, so to speak. Maybe I could take both roads. Maybe I could do a little bit on both roads, travel a little bit on both roads. When you think about it, let's look at this. You cannot walk on two different roads in two different directions at the same time. Amen? You know what repentance is? It means change. It means 180-degree change. That's what it means to repent. The Bible says that you recognize people by their fruit. Here's the most important thing to me, one of the things that's very important to me. You recognize people by their fruit. You recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from their thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you'll recognize them by their fruit. That's a strong verse of scripture, amen. Let me tell you something. I had a friend that was probably the most godly man I've ever known. He was a pastor. He's a dear friend of mine. Man was on his deathbed for several days waiting for God to come get him. And he's laying in that bed, and the closer he got, he was ready to go. He kept praying, God, take me home, take me home. And it got to the point where he said, why won't God come get me? And it even come to the point close to the end where he said, am I saved? I must not be saved. God won't come get me. It was the most heartbreaking statement I've ever heard. The most godly man stay because he was waiting on the Father to come get him. But if you look at this passage of Scripture right here, it says, every tree produces good fruit. You'll be known by your fruit. This man had affected more people, and his fruit was abundant. Amen? You may or may not know who I'm referring to, but anyhow, it doesn't really matter. But let me tell you, you'll be known by your fruit. This example shows that true faith in Christ changes a person's life and produces fruit for God's glory. Everything in nature reduces and reproduces after its own kind, and this is also true about spiritual standpoint. Everything reproduces by its own kind. Good fruit comes from a good tree, but bad fruit comes from a bad tree. The tree that produces rotten fruit is what is cut down and it's thrown in the fire. This is all talking about the two roads that we travel. Often people follow the wide gate and the broad road because they've been falsely directed. They have false information. That's why people need to be on guard against false prophets. You need to be paying attention to it, looking at it. If he's not getting it from the Word of God, you need to stay away from it. That's all what it means right here. That's why people need to be on guard. They claim to speak for God, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. How will you know who they are? How will you know where they stand? The Bible says you'll know because of the fruit that they bear. You'll know and you'll recognize them by their fruit. Grapes and figs do not grow from thorn bushes and thistles. Amen? That makes perfect sense. If a tree is healthy, it's going to produce healthy fruit. If the fruit is bad, it's coming from a bad tree. The lesson here is that you need example of the evidence. You need to examine the evidence of a person's life. It's obvious that Jesus was comparing the wide gate to the teachings of false prophets. And when you look at it, it's also obvious that in today's world that we simply are being led in the wrong path by a lot of things and a lot of people that are heading down the wrong road, the wide gate of destruction. It only provides us temporary satisfaction. The narrow gate, the road refers to letting Jesus be in control of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, letting him direct us, letting him guide us, leaning on him to walk us through every single step of the way. It provides a change from the inside. When Jesus comes into your heart, when he comes inside of us, when you truly make a repentance statement and you invite him in, he changes you on the inside. There's an internal transformation that takes place. It's a change, and then it starts being revealed on the outside. People can see it in your walk. They can see it in your actions. It's easily seen. Even Jesus acknowledged that few people will find this way, because few people find the way that leads to heaven because they have a hard time wanting to narrow down their scope a hard time of focusing down on what God wants them to have. God has given us the Bible as a guidebook for our lives. It provides an example of every single aspect of our lives. It is an ultimate resource of information. Now, if you take a look at our world today, you can find that there are many faulty teachers and false prophets speaking to our world today. They don't have to be from the pulpit. They can be from any platform, so to speak. But when you look at it, they claim to be working for the good of the people. It's for the good of all people. We're going to make these decisions because this is for the good of all people. No, we want to make sure that everybody is included in this. Many make decisions based on worldly acceptance with little concern about biblical guidance. Amen. We want to make sure people are accepted for the way they are, the way they act. Stepping on toes here. Take a look at it. Check it out. Here's some things for you to look at. Is the person's leadership and teaching consistent with God's word? Does his or her lifestyle display the fruit that comes from a godly lifestyle? If either of these answers is no, don't be deceived. False prophets are common. They were common in the Old Testament times. They're common today. They talked only about what the king and the people wanted to hear. They were tickling the ears, so to speak. They claimed to be from God's message, but they basically said what people wanted to hear. The Bible tells us to be aware of false prophets. If you take a close look at our world today, you'll see that false prophets are just as common today as they were. But you want to look at what the scriptures say. Jesus says, be aware of those whose words sound religious, but are motivated by money, fame, or power. Those are the things we're looking at this morning. You can tell who they are because of their teaching. They minimize Christ and they glorify themselves. There's a lot of people in that realm this morning. It's possible to fool ourselves. Because you think about it, it's possible to be fooled. Even Christians sometimes have a difficult time and rationalize this out. But Satan blinds the mind. He deceives people into thinking that they are doing everything right. You look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says this. The God of this age, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the Heavenly Father God. False teachers will experience God's judgment. He says, depart from me, you lawbreakers. Go away, I never knew you. There was a song that my mom used to sing that was, sorry, I never knew you. It was one of those exactly same statements. False teachers will experience separation from God. Someone can tell you, Lord, Lord, I've led a great life. Lord, look at all the good things I've done in my life. Look at all the things that I've done and I said it was all for you. Just look at it. Look at the things I've done. Nevertheless, the lack of their good fruit will expose them. There's a couple things here to wrap it up with. There's a wide gate and a broad road that many people follow, seeking to have a relationship with a God, not the God. There's a complete difference between having a relationship with a God, little g, or the God with uppercase G, because he's the creator of the universe. It's called religion. Now let's talk just a second, and don't leave on me just yet, all right? Religion is man's attempt to make himself acceptable to a holy God. That's what religion is. We're not preaching religion, we're preaching Christianity. There's many different types of religions in this world, but the narrow gate that leads to eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ. He makes us acceptable to a holy God because of the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. Few people find this road because few are willing to accept God's way, because God said, this is the way, my son is the way. There are few people who are willing to accept the fact that it's God's way through his son, and that's the only way to gain eternal life. This does not mean that it's difficult to become a Christian, because it's actually very, very simple. But it does mean that there's only one way to have eternal life with God. Only one way to have eternal life with God, and few people will find it, and few people will travel down that road. The only legitimate way to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father is the way that he said through his way, his son, and his cross. Believing in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, because he alone is the only one that provided a perfect sacrifice to pay the sin debt that we owe. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Man, that is the greatest statement ever made. Jesus said, I'm going to provide a way for you. God said, I love you so much that I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift that's free. All you got to do is accept it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. You think about that. God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to travel down the broad road that leads to destruction. That's not what he created you for. He created you in his image. He created each of us in his image to have a relationship with him in this world and in eternal world afterwards. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Man's a sinner, cannot save himself. We inherited sin nature from Adam and Eve all the way down the gene pool. We got that sin nature. Only one person ever walked on this planet that was sinless, and that was Jesus Christ. The rest of us are all in the same boat. We need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin creates a separation between us and God. We can't get to him. He can't get to us. There had to be something to eliminate that barrier, and he provided us with that something through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ going to the cross, shedding his blood on the cross, we can have eternal life in heaven, we can have salvation, and we can have a fellowship with him in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:13 says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. It says in here, you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll forgive you for everything you've ever done. He'll change you on the inside, and you'll see fruit coming on from the outside. Friends, when our time is over, on this earth, we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. We're either going to spend eternity in heaven and have eternal life with Jesus Christ and God the Father, or we're going to spend eternity separated from both of them without any life whatsoever. And eternity is too long to be wrong. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, I urge you to clear that up this morning. Don't let the sun go down without making sure that you're right with the Lord this morning. In a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, and I'll be down front. If you want to know more about this Jesus that I'm talking about, I'd love to share with you about him. Our altar is always open. If you need to come to the altar to pray, our deacons are here. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you, anything that you need. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Let me tell you something. This is a great place to call home. Amen. We'd love to get plugged in here. We'd love to have you in your fellowship. Nothing we'd love any better. But let me just make it real simple for you. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You invite him in to make him the Lord of your life, and he'll come in and he'll live forever. It's just a one-time thing, but you've got to invite him in. It has to be a general change, and that's called repentance. Father God, I just come before you this morning. God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for the word. God, I thank you for your word. And God, thank you for the clarity of your word. And Father, I pray if there's one person in the sound of my voice that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that this day would be the day that they would come to know you. Father, for others in the congregation, God, I know that there's struggle. I know that there's trials, there's tribulations. God, I know that there's even temptations that Satan throws in our path. And God, I just pray that your power would overshadow anything that we're dealing with this morning. God, that we would feel your presence like never before. Father, to help us walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God, just help us each and every step of the way. God, just pray for those in attendance this morning. God, I pray our fellowship would be stronger with you, with every ounce, every second that takes place. God, just help us every step of the way. God, we thank you for our time together this morning. It's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.